Welcome to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast. I'm Mike Pelak. I'm a screenwriter, actor, and filmmaker who's always looking to maximize my time and potential as I work to break in. In this podcast, I talk to artists of all kinds who have seen success in their fields about their process, habits, and work ethic. Today on the show is Duppy Demetrius. Duppy is a screenwriter and producer who has worked extensively in TV. He wrote for the hit show 24 for several seasons, then wrote on The Closer for 5 seasons, and Major Crimes for 6 seasons, rising to the level of executive producer. He also spent time on Hawaii Five-O, SEAL Team, and Kidnapped. A couple quick things before we jump into the episode. I've talked in the past about myself working on breaking into screenwriting. Please check out blackoilfilms.com/screenwriting. There you can check out some of the screenplays I've written. I have the first 10 pages of each one uploaded, but feel free to email me at theartistsworkethicpodcast@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you a full script if you're interested in reading. Last thing before we get into the episode, I would love anyone listening to subscribe, rate, and review the Artist's Work Ethic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps us put the show out there for more people to listen to. All right, Duppy, thank you for coming on with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Thanks for contacting me and getting me in touch with your podcast. This is great.
Of course. When you first made your leap into writing on a professional level, how, I guess, confident were you in yourself? And did you have a backup plan of any kind?
Well, I started in production, which I kind of took an interesting way into becoming a writer. I was a set PA for years, so I got to know set really well. Through that, I was able to read all the scripts of the shows I was a set PA for. From there, I went and moved into the office and became a line producer assistant. So I was slowly working my way toward the writer's room. And then I became an assistant to the guy who created the show 24, Joel Cerno. And from there, he read one of my scripts, and I ended up, after 2 years on that show, being able to get a script. Your question was actually, you know, how did I get into it, and did I have a backup plan? At that point, I had already been working in the business for like 7 or 8 years. So my backup plan was to try just to become a writer, and to just keep plowing through until something happened. And luckily something did. It's just one of those perseverance things where you just, you know, here's my goal. I was lucky enough to work for people who wanted to see me succeed. That is a huge boon. And for me, there was really no other plan other than to be a writer. I mean, you know, I guess I could have gone the way of being an assistant director. I certainly had enough days, or almost enough days, to be able to do that. But, you know, work in production. But my goal was always to be a writer. And I was lucky enough to have that happen. So yeah, I didn't really have an escape plan. It was always just like, just keep plowing through until it happened. And I was lucky enough that it did.
Do you think that persistence and drive was it instilled in you in how you were raised, or was it some just external thing that you saw and just held on to?
That's a great question. My sisters and I are all in different career paths, but we all ended up really pushing forth and all having a really good work ethic. So even though I guess when I was growing up, I didn't realize it was being instilled in me. Ultimately, yeah, it was one of those things where my dad was a salesman. He was away a lot. He was almost always home on weekends, at least. And, you know, he would take me on trips, and you'd see what he did. And he really pushed through. And I guess we as kids saw that. And that's what it was. Well, another thing that my parents did that was great was they never told us we couldn't do something. Meaning, you know, I knew people that's like, well, I want to be an EMT or a paramedic. It's like, well, you can't do that. You know, that's a lot of schooling, and that's a lot of, you know, a lot of the hours are horrible. So we never had any of that. It was, okay, well, what do you want to do? Well, I want to go and be a writer. Okay, well, what do you need to do that? And, you know, they were very, very supportive. And again, that's one of those things, like, you want to have someone that's going to try and support you creatively and let you do what you need to do to find success. And that's something my parents did. I'm sure that all bleeds into what my work ethic actually is and what it always will be.
A common theme on the show is that people who do end up with some success in their, you know, art discipline tend to be people who will do things that others won't, you know, just kind of going above and beyond. Do you have an example in your career of something that you've done that kind of fits that mold?
That's a good question.
Or maybe I could rephrase it a little bit. Some way that you have made your own luck.
That's a great way to put it. Making your own luck. Yeah, it's always be there. Always show up. That's the big thing. You know, if there's a situation where, you know, we were in, if I have to be on set at 5 o'clock in the morning, I get on set at 4:40. I was the first one during one of in my PA days. I was the first one there and the last one to leave, and it just showed the higher ups that I was, you know, that my work ethic was there and I was willing to do what was needed to make things, to make the project I'm working on as good as it can possibly be from the aspect of what I was doing for them. So making my own luck, it was just show up. I mean, that's the biggest thing. If you don't show up, the good things aren't going to happen, right?
Definitely. And I would say in your career, I mean, you talked about that you were in production before you got into the writer's room, and there's a pretty clear ascendance that you've had from writer to story editor, executive story editor, co-producer, executive producer. Was there a moment during that climb that you felt like, I can't do this anymore. I'm done with this. I want to go do something else. And if you did have that moment or something similar to that, how did you push through it and just keep driving forward?
Well, then I've been very, very lucky in that the shows I've been on some very, very successful shows. And I've been on those shows for a long time, each of them. I mean, I was on 24 for 5 years. You know, I wrote on it for three or four of those 5 years. I ended up being on The Closer and Major Crimes collectively as 11 years. So, you know, every one of those shows was like a family. The showrunners were two different types of showrunners, but because of that, I was able to learn more about being a good producer. There was never really a moment in any of them that I hated what I was doing, that I dreaded waking up in the morning. I mean, sure, if you get out of offset at midnight and you're, you know, and your call time is 6 a.m. and you have to drive, you know, 30 miles to get the set, yes, you're dreading it. But there's never a moment of, I hate what I'm doing. I wish I'd made a different decision. It's always because this is, you know, that's why I moved to California. That's why I moved to Los Angeles, to be a writer, to be a producer, to be on set and to be able to work with the actors and write the scripts and just be part of it all. So I guess the short answer is I don't regret any of it. And I've never said, hey, I hate what I'm doing. Did that answer your question? I'm not sure that answered your question.
Yeah, no, it does. And you know, everyone's got a different, you know, I mean, I've talked to people who were like, yeah, I was, you know, on the verge of just giving it up and moving back to Nebraska, you know, that type of thing. But it's interesting to get all the different perspectives.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, I've been very, very lucky. I don't know what else I would do, honestly. I guess I'd go back and do what I did before I did this, which was like temp work. You know, I was working just in a temp agency type thing just to be able to, until I got my foot in the door. So this is what I know. This is, as far as I'm concerned, this is what I was meant to do.
When you are actively in a TV writer's room, and assuming you've been in rooms where, you know, you're breaking a story as a group and then you're taking your script away and writing off on your own, what's your day look like when you are either off on your own writing, or even if you're, I don't know if you are writing, you know, if you write anything for yourself type of thing, sure. You know, how do you focus and stay productive?
Well, deadlines. Right. If you have a deadline, you know, the train's moving and you're going to, that deadline's, it gets closer and closer and closer. So, you know, let's say you have a deadline that's in 2.5 weeks. If you procrastinate the first week, guess what? Now you have to write a script in 8 days or whatever. There were sometimes, like on 24, sometimes it was crazy because they shot two at a time. Sometimes it'd be Thursday night and you need a script by Monday. But on The Closer, we had the luxury of having sometimes three and a half weeks to write a script. You just kind of parse it out and you say, this is what I need to write. I write better at night, and I would end up staying at the office very late. And I would just say, okay, I'm going to stay here until this scene is done. you know, or until I'm banging my head against my keyboard, my eyes bleeding. But there were also people that would say, okay, I know that the script is 48 pages or 50 pages. I know I have 10 days to do, or, you know, 20 days to do it. So I need to write 2.5 pages a day, and they'd write their 2.5 pages a day and be done with it. So it's a everybody, I think, has a different way they do it. Absolutely, everybody has a different way to do it. Mine was more just keep plowing through until I just couldn't think about it anymore, and then go home and sleep about it. And when you wake up and go, oh, that's the problem I was having yesterday, I figured out, and you go in and you just keep at it until it's done.
In thinking about your goal setting, how do you organize yourself? I mean, I love lists. I have everything on a list for days and weeks and the year. What's your preferred method of kind of organization and focus?
In general, I like lists. I do like lists a lot because I'll put things on lists that just to help populate the list. Like if I have a list of two things, that's not a list to me. So, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, work on the script, you know, and read whatever I need to read. That's not really a list to me. So I'll put other things in the list that just kind of help me get through the day, little milestones that are sometimes just kind of dumb, like put gas in the car. You know, but anyway, at the end of the
day, I put dishes on my list every day.
Yeah. It's so. One of those things like, you know, get coffee and read the newspaper, or get coffee and, you know, catch up on news. I think all of that's, it helps me just parse out what I need to do, but I'm definitely a list guy. And if it's at nighttime, I'll actually email myself individual emails for all the different things I need to do the next day. So I'll wake up to 6 emails from myself from the night before saying, okay, this needs done, and do this, or go read this, get through this scene, break this act, or whatever that is. But I'm definitely a lister, and I think I always have been. It's just, I know some people say, don't write lists because then you'll end up taking off all the easy things first and putting the hard things off till end. But still, I'm even if I do that, I'm still getting through it.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever found that. I think it's fun to, or it's satisfying to knock out something easy and take it off the list. But I don't think I've ever, at least personally, gotten caught in the trap of just doing the easy stuff and leaving all the hard stuff. But
priorities, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, you got to eventually finish the hard stuff anyway. So just get through.
We touched on this, but how important would you say persistence and perseverance are to a career in the arts? You know, I've found that just staying with it is such a big part of, you know, especially something like writing or acting or directing or music. It feels like you just have to keep going, even if you're not quite getting there yet. What's your take on that?
I think it's all perseverance. Without that, what do you have? I mean, there's no real overnight successes, right? You hear about somebody's overnight success and they've been at it for 10 years. It's like, it's just, oh, okay, well now they're in the public eye or you know, whatever. When I first moved to California, I knew people that were like, well, I'm giving it 2 years. Nothing happens in 2 years. It's like amazing how fast time flies by. Nothing happens in 2 years. In 2 years, you'd be lucky if you end up getting a job that you can work for free on, which is how I originally started. I worked for free on some things, but you just have to get to know people. And then you just have to, again, show up. So it's perseverance, showing up, you know, getting your butt in the seat and your chair and in front of your laptop and just pushing through. I mean, that's the best advice I think I can give.
Is there anything in your own personal work ethic or how you're productive that you've identified that you feel like you could improve on in some way?
Oh, geez, everything. what can I improve on? Well, procrastination is a big thing with me because when I hit a wall, it's very easy to hop on and look on Instagram, right? Or it's easy to go and say, oh, I didn't play Wordle yet today or any of that. So that's something I can work on. But ultimately, you know, I still end up getting through what I need to get through. Could I do it a little faster? Yeah, probably. But I do think that some of that downtime that when I'm not looking at the screen helps break through some of those walls of issues that I was having. Yeah, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing is just what could I improve on would be the procrastination. And also reading more. I need to read more. I read a lot, but I feel like I could read more. Those are the big things. Because by reading is how that's, you know, that's what writing is, right? So sure. By reading, even if it's screenplays, read a screenplay, read a book, whatever, you're still getting story. Yep. And story is a craft, and it's something that needs to be worked on. And through reading, you're working on it, as far as I'm concerned.
Is there anything that you want to plug or talk about before we go?
No, we're on strike right now. Writers are on strike. So there's really nothing. Even if I had something, it'd be right for me to plug it. Just hopefully the strike will hopefully something good will happen at the end of the strike. And, I'll be able to go off and continue with my career as a writer and, do more writing and, get through it.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on with me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening today. Please subscribe to the Artist Work Ethic Podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts, and please rate and review the show. Follow us on Instagram at The Artist's Work Ethic, and check out theartistsworkethic.com.